The Marketing Review from Star Radio.
Joining me in the studio is Alison Thomas, a.k.a. Kat, who is at kat.uk.com. And Alison is a PR guru, having done PR in all sorts of industries, from the music industry to cement, if I remember rightly.
All sorts of stuff. A guru, I quite like the idea of that, but I only wish I was. No, I've been in PR for many a year, Kieran. Too many to mention. We'll skip over that.
Alison has been on the show before, and she always comes with very practical hints and tips on how to do things. And this time you're going to talk about how to create compelling content for marketing.
Yes, it's one of those things that actually is the backbone, really, of marketing that we don't really think about. And it's the point of call for everything in terms of communications. And it's such a crucial element that we can easily forget it.
OK, so when we're talking about compelling content, this is content that people actually want to read?
Yes, exactly. I mean, if you think about the environment we are in every single day, Kieran, we are bombarded with lots and lots of communications coming at us from all sources. We've got advertising, PR, we've got sales promotion, we've got ourselves just talking, all sorts of media on our phones, on our TVs, on our radio. And we've got to really cut through that as a marketer in order to be able to communicate effectively with the consumer. And that's the very difficult bit about marketing. How do we cut through all that noise that's going on? I like to think about going back to the basics when we're talking about communications with a very simple principle called ADA, which no doubt many of the listeners may have come across before. For those who haven't, though, it's a simple acronym standing for attention, interest, desire, and then action. It's about taking a consumer or the audience, it could be a trade, doesn't have to necessarily all be about consumers, but the audience, through the stages of grabbing their attention, getting them interested in something to the point where they want to take action, and then going ahead and doing it. And if that's what we're trying to do with communications, we've got to create content that is going to take them through every single stage to elicit the reaction from them that we're after.
So does that mean compelling content starts with the attention bit, where I grab the attention, or do I actually have to do something else before that?
Well, that's a very good question. It depends on really what you're trying to achieve. Different communication tools will actually hit at different levels of that ADA model. So, for example, advertising is great at grabbing attention. So that A part of the communications ADA is great in terms of advertising. If you're trying to actually go through the process of gaining interest and increasing desire, you may want to take a little bit more of a softer approach. So PR, for example, would be very good at that. And then if you think about the action, what do we want them to actually achieve? What do we want them to do? Whether that's going to a website or whether it's going to go and buy something, then sales promotion may be good. Whatever stage it is, though, it's really about creating content that is going to be appropriate for that audience. It's about making sure that we speak to them in a language that they want to hear, that they will understand, and that will motivate them ultimately to do what we want them to do.
Okay, so how do I know that I'm reaching the right words to them?
What you have to really remember is the fact that everybody is different. However, whilst we're all different, we all have similar traits and similar characteristics. So when we're in business, we need to very clearly identify our audience. And that would be really very much about the demographics of that audience. That may be another word that your listeners are used to hearing quite repeatedly on the shows here, about the demographics. And what do we mean by that? We're talking about what makes up the physicality of that person in terms of their age, their life cycle, whether they're married, whether they've got children, maybe their net disposable income, all the physical things about them, the characteristics. And then the second part of it is really about the psychology, what we call the psychographics. So it's their attitudes, it's about their beliefs, it's about their lifestyle, about the things that make them tick, about the things that make them individual. So what it's about really is taking the demographics of an audience and then grouping people together. So we know that they're all going to be from 25 to 35, for example, that they're all going to be male, that they're living in Cambridge. So they're the demographics. Now, that's fine, but the things that make people individual is the psychographics. Each one of those individual people, maybe 25 to 35 in Cambridge, are male, but they will have different attitudes, beliefs and lifestyle, life changes and life experiences. And it's those things that we're trying to ultimately tick the boxes and switch them onto in order to make them actually do something that we want, hopefully to buy our services.
So this is where we had that Mark Beasley from the Mature Marketing Association was on the show last week, and he was talking about the mature marketing. You wouldn't have an advert that to the mature market that started, yo, or something like that.
Absolutely. This is what it's all about, really. It's about then saying, OK, well, once we've identified who we're talking to, now we can create content that is going to be appropriate for them. And that's a great example. We wouldn't want to start being upbeat and exciting for somebody who is potentially interested in buying a funeral plan. Not necessarily because they're old. I'm just thinking of the spam mail that I've been getting through recently. Right. They've been hitting me with it. There must be something about my age that I'd better not reveal. So, yes, it's about making it appropriate to that particular audience. And that's the starting point for any piece of communication that we're doing. Now, that piece of communication can be anything from a brochure to a leaflet to an email, as well as a big advert, an outdoor poster or a TV advert or a radio show. It doesn't really matter. But what is important is that we start with the audience and then write everything in terms of the content appropriate to that particular audience that we're talking to.
OK, so I understand that I need to sort of catch. How do I actually encourage people to take an action? And what sort of actions could we be talking about?
Yes, this is the interesting bit, really, because if we're taking somebody through that model of ADA that we spoke about earlier, we've got their attention. We've actually talked to them, hopefully, about something that they're interested in, about creating a good message for them. And then ultimately, that action point is the key to say, have we been successful in our communication or not? So what are we trying to achieve? Well, it could be simply driving traffic to a website. That could be what we're measuring at the end of the day as to whether that's been a good piece of communication or not. Or it may be actually going out and purchasing something or ringing us up and actually taking our services or coming to our event. It could be a number of various different things. When we start looking at the different media that we're doing and the different types of communication, it will depend on really obviously what we're trying to achieve, but also what media we're using. So as a good example of this, you could be saying that we're doing an email marketing campaign and we're sending out an email to a particular audience that we've identified. We've created all our content, we've sent it out, lovely. Well, have we been successful in just sending it? Well, yes, okay, that's fair enough, but it hasn't actually taken anybody through that ADA model. We ultimately want them to do something. Well, the first part of that may very well be opening the email. So they've actually opened it, great. Well, that's good, but that's not good enough. We then want them to actually read that email. Now, it's very difficult when you think about the amount, as I was saying before, of communications hitting you all the time, to make sure that people actually do, first of all, open it, secondly, read it, and then actually go on and do something. And if you think that something about 20% of people actually only spend 3 seconds glancing at an email, you've got to be quick. You've got to get their attention. You've got to grab them by the bits and then get them to have a look at it in order to then take them through the process to go and do something at the end. And in our email marketing campaign, that may be simply to ring us up or go to our website and find out further information.
In an email, because that's something that a lot of us do all the time, is the key thing to get the sort of headline right?
Yes. This right. is the key thing, isn't it? It's about, well, what is compelling for each individual? Yes, we know there's different audiences, but let's assume we've decided what our audience is and we really understand them. Well, what is going to make our content more compelling than somebody else's? Well, there's probably three separate elements we need to think about. The first one being the words that we're using. The second element being the visual part of it. And then finally, maybe sometimes, hopefully now, the audio. So where you've just used the example of the email campaign there, how do we get someone to open it? Well, the words are very important here. So here we may be talking about the headline. The same way that with the headline would be very important in, let's say, an advert or a piece of journalism in a newspaper. It's about grabbing our attention, pulling us in, making us excited in terms of interest. Curious is probably the best word rather than excited, in terms of curious, making us read on, have a look at the content a little bit further. And then taking it back to what I said there, we've got 3 seconds or so. We may have clicked going, oh, that's quite interesting. Now our first paragraph is going to be vital in drawing us in to get us through that process of reading the whole email. So headline, then the first paragraph, and then the rest of the content.
So what sort of visuals should I be looking at doing?
The other interesting thing we probably need to think about in terms of the words that we use is making sure, again back to our audience, that it's appropriate. So, for example, we won't want to necessarily use jargon to a consumer. When I'm talking jargon, it's all that business language that we use all the time, you know, KPIs or out of area, whatever is appropriate to a particular business sector. Now, we want to put those in if we're talking to a business audience, but we would make sure that we took that kind of stuff out if we were talking to the consumer. So really, it's going back to KISS. We all like a kiss, don't we, Kieran? About keeping it short and simple. Make sure that we think about it in the clearest way possible, the most concise possible way, and not over-flowering or over-complicating the communications in terms of the words we use.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about the sort of visuals I should be using.
The visuals is a really important element. As you can imagine, it's really, in some respects, more important because it's the first thing that we see. A picture paints 1,000 words and it communicates to us instantly. So in some respects, that is the most important thing. But let's step back a bit in terms of visuals and think about design and layout. That's equally as important. There is a great bit of research that I always recall about eye tracking, and particularly on online and email marketing, it's particularly important. But it's about making sure that we look at where we are on the page and making sure that you put the right information at the right place. So this eye tracking research has actually revealed that we look in terms of an F shape when we're reading. So it's sort of like right across the top, right across the bottom, and then a slash down. So it forms an F. Well, that's useful information for us, because if we take that in its purest sense, we can then decide, well, OK, we need a good headline at the top, and then we need to make sure that we also, part of the way down, include something else that's going to be of interest.
So is this why direct mail letters have a headline at the top and then usually something bold about halfway down the page?
Absolutely.
Ah.
Exactly. Because what we'll do instantly is scan things. We don't want to be spending more than our 3 seconds on that email. So we want to scan it quickly to see what we're going to get. Now, if we have been clever in our marketing and we have used that knowledge in terms of where we put our key words and our key messages, within that 3 second gap, we can communicate an awful lot of stuff very, very quickly to somebody as they scan that email or scan that piece of paper.
So is it the same for a digital? If I was doing a website, do they still have an F?
Exactly, it is. That instinct is the same in terms of whatever communication you're doing. It could be it could be a brochure, piece of literature, but yes, most importantly, for the web. If you think about what we started the conversation there with in terms of photographs and images and pictures, if you took that F, you would then be putting your words into the F shape and maybe putting your photographs on the right-hand side. It gives you clues as to where people will be hovering and spending the most time gathering information. So they open up, let's say, a web page, they will see it instantly, the photographs will jump out at them because they're nice and colourful and they tell us 1,000 words, but then straight away when they scan the wording, if we put the words in the right place, big headline, halfway down, and a little bit of information to end with in terms of a call to action, we're going to communicate an awful lot in a very short space of time.
Okay, and are there any sort of keywords I should be using? I seem to remember when I first started marketing, we were always told to put in the word free, and because I worked in financial services, tax free was always one of the things we used.
Yes, very interesting, isn't it? That psychology part of it. We all want a bargain, don't we? The most important thing to remember is really when you're talking about the layout and the design and the words, and particularly something like the web, where there is a plethora of information and it's a really, really busy environment, we need to include things in there that are going to help us with our search engine optimization. So any content that we're creating needs to include keywords that are appropriate for people who are probably going to be doing searches on the information that we're looking for. So that could be around the business sector that we're working in, but it's about what message are we trying to get across. So it's our key messages for our business, and if we're giving away something free, absolutely. What we wouldn't want to do is just include things like that just to get people excited and then go, sorry, only kidding.
Right, yes, presumably that's the point where the interest suddenly sort of disappears. Alison, that was really great. Is there any sort of final words of wisdom that you have?
Yeah, I think the thing that I'd like to probably finish on is the thought of that audio that just finishes off the sort of the roundness of our communication, and is becoming increasingly important, particularly when you've got video and you've got podcasting. They're all very, very important now, particularly online. And so making sure that we have some compelling audio content as well is also really important if we can slip that in there too.
Alison Thomas, thank you very much indeed. And you can find Alison at cat.uk.com.
That's my pleasure, Kieran. Thank you very much.
The Marketing Review.
With Cambridge Marketing Colleges. Visit marketingcollege.com to see our courses.